The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, when it comes to your garden and trying to fill it out, should you stop thinking horizontally and start thinking vertically? To chat about this and to answer your gardening questions, I'm joined by Mari Staunton. You're welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Claire.
So you want us to grow things up this way?
Because like we're getting short of space in gardens in terms of they're smaller now, or you might have overplanted on the ground level. So it's time to go up. So with that in mind, wall plants. Climbers. So you're looking at clematis, wisteria. I brought in a lovely one today. Nobody believes me that it's actually real. It's a lobster claw plant. Really nice.
Lovely colour as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's kind of salmony pink colour. It's gorgeous. So those sort of plants you can plant up against a wall. They don't take up a huge amount of space. In fact, you can disguise a really ugly wall with nice climbers like that. And say you have an evergreen wall plant and you want a bit of colour in it. You know, so it's just evergreen. You want a bit of colour in it.
Yes.
Well, you can scramble up a clematis into that, you know, non-invasive one like maybe the President or Nelly Moser or one of those. So to get a bit of colour going up through it.
Will that climb itself or does it need to be supported?
No, clematis are great. They'll scramble through stuff. They'll find their way. And then you have things like Virginia creeper, Parthenocissus, that needs to sucker against the wall. So that's where if your wall is painted or stippled, they find it hard. So I've seen people out with sellotape and all sorts of things trying to stick them to the wall.
So how do you do it? How should you do it?
So if you're putting something like a wisteria or something like that, you need to put in the wires. So you need to put in supports in the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's the basic thing, because it's very hard then to go back afterwards and start putting in supports. So put in the wires about 18 inches apart all the way along the wall.
What about a trellis?
You can put a trellis as well, but trellises tend to break down over time. Whereas if you have, you know, the wires in, they'll grip onto the wires. So the likes of wisteria, and for wisteria for a wall, I would go for wisteria sinensis. Comes into flower before it comes into leaf. So you really see the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of the floribundas come into leaf and flower at the same time and you don't get to see the full effect of the beautiful lilac or white flowers.
Yeah, and they do create a lovely effect, all of these plants.
Yeah,
because as you say, you might want to keep a bit of lawn free. You might be dealing with a balcony or a really small garden.
Exactly.
And it's just a nice way to get a bit of colour.
Oh, it is.
And green.
They're so, you know, most of them are so easy. I mean, for one that's just takes a little bit of time. Well, a wisteria takes nearly 7 years to really get going. So some people hoof them out before that, but don't hoof them out. Just leave them alone, you know.
Marion tells us that something is digging up her spring bulbs.
Okay.
Especially the tulips, both in the ground and in the pots. What is doing that to your garden,
so
Marion?
There's three culprits there. There might be squirrels, depends on if she's backing onto a park.
Why would the squirrels want tulip bulbs?
They'll dig up anything, you know. Squirrels will dig up anything to see if there's any food going on. Mice do the same. And so do rabbits. We have a lot of rabbits next door in next door's garden. They might come into our garden, eat everything. So it's, it's one of those things you just have to.
There's not much Marion can do about that.
There isn't. You can put wire mesh, you know, a little bit of wire mesh over the top of the pots and that sort of thing. That kind of, if they're mice, they'll get through anything, you know, let's face it. But if it's, it's a little deterrent. But generally speaking, I would put a kind of a gravel around the top of the pots as well. That just, it's another layer that they can't get easily through. It's just trying to get a little barrier for them. But yeah, mice do that.
And a spy cam.
And it's, get one of those. Yeah, ring doorbell yolks or whatever they are. Yeah.
This listener has a small flower bed with poor soil. Gets a lot of sunshine at certain times of the day, but most things I've planted there just don't survive. Do you have any suggestions for plants that might thrive there? Well, can you change the soil?
You can change the soil. If it's poor soil, you just add in a lot of good quality compost, manure, that sort of thing. But if you want to go with what's there, just think of a gravel garden. You know, just think of alpine plants. You could put in some things like nerines. Nerines you would see in older gardens. They're beautiful pink flowers, salmony pink flowers in kind of August, September time. You can put in iberis, lots of like alpine plants and loads of bulbs and stuff like that. And salvias do really well in poor soils.
So you go with what you have.
Sometimes you have to go with what you have and just, you know, because the underlying could be sand underlying, you know, underneath that as well. So it's going to cause a lot of problems drainage wise. There'll be nothing there, you know.
Now, this listener has a shamrock-like weed growing everywhere in the garden. between and up through some of the plants.
Okay.
Do we know what that might be?
It could be something like oxalis. So oxalis will, it looks like a bit like a shamrock. It's quite pleasant, actually. It wouldn't bother me too much. I know what she's saying, that it could kind of, it does go into everything. So they have what's called a little, it's a little nodule at the bottom of their root system, and that's needs, the whole thing needs to come out. So if you leave any of those little nodules, they'll just run again. It's a bit like bindweed and stuff like that. You know, they're just, they're there. But yeah, just if you dig it up and get those little nodules out as well, they're like little, I suppose, little cormels run on the bottom of the root system. So just get them out.
Back to our wall climbers now. Oh, a listener would like to know, are there any wall climbers that will work right by the sea?
Right by the sea. I suppose you're looking at something like a Tracheospermum, so Jasminoides. It won't flower as well unless it's in full bright sunshine. You can use it in a kind of north facing, but you won't get too many flowers. But that would be a good one. I've seen jasmine doing very well in those sort of conditions. So that's
when you,
one.
When we say by the sea, are you thinking that's going to be harsh?
It's a tough environment. Yeah, it is, because you have the salt laden air for a start. You have wind coming off the sea, so it's going to burn more delicate. So it will burn clematis, if, for instance, really, you know, that won't put up with that. Ideally, you put in a shelter belt first. So you put in things like Oleria macrodonta, which is a plant that takes that sort of, and Escalonia, which takes that sort of sea breezes. And then behind that, you can start planting stuff against walls.
So a
and
buffer.
Stuff. A buffer. And then your real deals after that.
And do you have to, or should you plant those so that they're south facing, regardless of sea or no sea?
If you can't, you know, climbers will, well, plants will do well in most conditions. They just don't flower as well in full shade. Mm-hmm. But you can get stuff for full shade, like Viburnum tinus does well by the sea as well. So there's lots of, you know, plants that do well, but they won't flower as well if they're in less than kind of 8 hour sunshine.
Mari, thank you very much.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.